This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Power Lunch with Laura Bennett.
Yeah, the time each week we get to hear from a culture maker, someone telling a great story in a great way. And today we're hearing from filmmaker Jessica van der Wingaard. Now, her story is connected to someone else's story. In 1997, Joshua Harris, a 21-year-old Christian, wrote I Kiss Dating Goodbye. If you grew up in Christian youth group or had any kind of connection with Christian culture, you might remember it. It encouraged young people to dismiss casual dating in favour of intentional relationships, only embarking on those relationships when you were ready to get married. Joshua had good intentions, trying to help people stick to their commitment to save sex for marriage, but he didn't realise how many people were taking his words as gospel. Fast forward to today, 20 years later, and Joshua has pulled the book from shelves. He released an apology for the negative effects it had on some people, saying that he's had a bit of a change of heart. Now, Australian filmmaker Jessica van der Wingaard has told Joshua's story in the documentary I Survived I Kiss Dating Goodbye, a story exploring Joshua's change of heart and speaking to people affected. She tells us here why she felt the stories needed to be told and why Josh originally wrote the book.
So the views that were originally in Josh's book were around dating being something that should be taken very seriously, and, you know, maybe even the way we see dating happening around us isn't something that we should do. So maybe we shouldn't even call it dating. We should maybe think of other words around intentional friendship. But dating, quote-unquote dating, for the purposes of marriage. So it's something you only engage in one-on-one with the opposite sex in a romantic fashion once you're in a position and ready to get married.
Wow, so it is very serious, as you say. Why did he originally write it then, thinking that that conversation needed to happen?
For Joshua Harris, he found himself in the mid-90s as a teenager and a young adult. And we were having, especially in the US, the true love movement was picking up, true love waits, and a lot of that literature around abstinence. And he found, as a young man who enjoyed spending time with girls and dating and had a few girlfriends even as a teenager, he was like, you know what, if I'm going to honor God and actually maintain this commitment of waiting till marriage, dating is not going to get me there. So I'm going to stop dating. I'm going to kiss dating goodbye in order to maintain that commitment, that pledge card I signed.
How did you first come across I Kiss Dating Goodbye?
Well, it wasn't as popular in Australia as it was in the US. However, my mum got a copy from Koorong, I think it was Koorong or Word, one of the Christian bookstores here in Australia, and it was profiled quite heavily locally here in Australia, and she picked it up. And, you know, for a first-time mum with teenagers of her own now, she thought, oh, what a great idea. This is going to protect my kids and keep them safe. And, yeah, so it was my mum who put the book in my hand, and then the ideas of it, even if it wasn't the book itself, became quickly part of the Australian Christian culture, especially amongst non-denominational churches. Josh's thoughts quickly began to influence the way we interacted.
Did you feel like it had a very obvious effect on your life personally, whether it was your approach to dating or experiences of boys and girls standing separately at youth group and things like that?
Yeah, definitely. I found that, you know, as a teenager, and you know what, I know youth leaders and youth pastors and everyone's just doing the best they can, but there does seem to be this fear that starts to get taught around sexuality and around dating and engaging with the opposite sex. As teenagers, you have raging hormones and there's going to be temptation. And so I really wanted to honor God, and I found that Josh's book was kind of gave me my guide. Like, this is my benchmark. I'm going to stick to this. If I do this, then I don't need to be afraid. It's going to keep me safe.
Yeah, and because core to the idea of I Kiss Dating Goodbye is a biblical concept of saying no to sex before marriage and holding that as something that you only do once you're in a committed relationship. But I guess Josh sort of added different rules and different layers to that idea that weren't necessarily biblical. How did the purity movement and that sort of conversation feed into what he ended up writing?
I discovered more and more, having like a personal connection with Josh when I moved to Vancouver in Canada, that the layers of complexity around how this perfect storm of ideas and culture was happening in the US to really catapult Josh and his book into, like, you know, mega stardom in terms of Christian authors was quite a unique situation that happened. And it was partly because his parents were very, kind of very well known in the Christian homeschool movement in the US. And Josh was on speaking tours with his father from about the age of 16 or 17. And so when he, as a young adult, got this book deal, wrote this book, he already had a very popular magazine called New Attitudes around dating and, you know, being a young teenage disciple of Jesus. It was just like the perfect storm, along with what was happening in the culture around true love waits. It was like, okay, if we're going to maintain this pledge, this could be the way we actually do that in the day-to-day. This is the dating practices. And you know what? Let's specify it out in as much detail as possible to keep us safe and to keep us guarding our hearts, guarding other people's hearts. And that became some of the detail of Josh's book. And like most 21-year-olds, you know, we can be very idealistic and we don't have a lot of life experience. We just don't. So we can assume that, oh, everything can go exactly as the way I'm describing, in a very black and white fashion. And yeah, that's going to work out for everyone the best possible way.
He probably didn't realise, as he shares in the film, just the impact and the ripple effect that it would really have on people. So what was it that made him go, hang on a minute, I changed my mind on this, some of these attitudes need to be revised?
I think for him at his church in Maryland, he was a pastor at a church, and that happened after he published the book, and he had a few other books there as well. He started to change when he noticed that people were sticking to the words he said in a very legalized way, or it would come where, you know, the nice idea in his books around, you know, if as a young man you're interested in a young woman in the church, it might be a good idea to go talk to her father and, you know, just get his perspective. And what that evolved into in practice was more like the father became the gatekeeper for whether or not a young man got any of the girl's attention, and she couldn't actually make that choice herself. It had to go through the father. One of our interviewees in the film talks about how even racism factored into that. And it was a very kind of patriarchal idea that took on. It was kind of swept along by Josh's original good advice that was taken as gospel.
Yeah, and it is aspects of good advice, because like parts of the book that I personally remember a lot of people talking about were things that do involve us treating each other really well when it comes to a romantic relationship. So like being intentional, not abusing the fact that somebody's giving you attention and time, and actually being considerate to what the outcome of a relationship might be. Like there's useful thoughts in there, but as you say, it kind of gets taken out of context a little bit. And you do interviews with a number of people who read the book, were affected by it. What key themes did you notice about what the book had done in their lives?
We talked to so many different people for the film, and unfortunately not all of them got into the final cut of the film because just so much material. But we talked to people who were honestly really happy that they read it. They felt it had a very positive impact in their life. A lot of those people would tell us that Josh's book worked, that quote-unquote, it worked, or it worked for me. So even that itself was an interesting thing, because it was describing the teaching of Josh's book as a formula or as a recipe to follow,
right?
Rather than necessarily saying, like, speaking about how God used it and things like that. They would say it worked. Some people did describe how God had used Josh, and which is true, you know, and just the goodness that came in their life through reading his book. And then we spoke to others who, similar to myself, had just realized that the book was out of touch with the life of someone in singleness in their mid to late 20s, you know, just kind of in that middle kind of spectrum of saying, you know what, the book might have been good advice when I was a teenager, but I'm done with it now.
Yeah.
All the way across to people who have been very damaged or angered by the book, and in adulthood they find themselves being very resentful of the book being taught to them. And in some communities, and this is a more extreme example, the book being weaponized and used to control young people and them dealing with that now in adulthood and having to process that and see how God fits into all of that when a book with good intentions, like I Kissed Dating Goodbye, was really used in a way that Josh never intended and that really wasn't what God wanted either, you could say. Yeah, so we've got a spectrum of response, but tens of thousands of people all over the world have been able to watch the film for free online.
Yeah.
So it's helping move the conversation in a healthy direction, in a more holistic direction.
And for the people that really needed it as part of the healing process, it's great that it's been made for them to see. And one of the things that Josh does come to, and I won't spoil his total realization for people, but part of it is that in the purity movement, in his book, sex is really held up as this thing that provides ultimate fulfillment, ultimate happiness. And then for the abstinent Christian, that means marriage is really the thing we hold up in high esteem. What's your view on marriage now, having obviously made the documentary and coming into this conversation?
I grew up with Josh's book, with Danny Gresh's book, these American Christian living books on dating and romantic life and things like that, really having this fairy tale idea of how my life would turn out and that if I did things a certain way, God would reward me, you know, the sowing and reaping. I would get, you know, this amazing husband, and that would happen by the time I was, you know, 22, maybe 23, if I wasn't so lucky. And now I find myself as a 33-year-old single person. I think marriage is a wonderful institution. I think what our film does and what I'm starting to see in the wider conversation in the church is that Christians and evangelicals are starting to admit that, you know what, you don't have to be married to find fulfillment as a Christian. You don't have to be married in order to be a disciple of Jesus and to be part of your local church and to be involved in the family of God. And I think that's a really important shift, and I'm glad to have been a part of it. It's something I wholeheartedly believe. You know, it'd be great to be married, but I understand that I'm no less of a Christian and I'm no less of a follower of Jesus, and my life can be just as fulfilled in other ways.
So what's your advice then as we finish up, Jess, for people who, whether they're teenagers, whether they're people like yourself in their mid-30s, perhaps even older, who find themselves in a single season, what's your advice to them for approaching dating and approaching romantic relationships?
Yeah, great question. I would say, first thing, watch our film. That would be my advice. That'd be a good place to start. And we have a ton of other content on our website that you can access, the full interviews we did with these amazing authors and speakers and pastors. I would encourage you, if you were someone who read Josh's book, or you feel like the ideas and the things that I'm talking about, you're like, oh my gosh, I feel that. I felt like I was taught that. Go read some other stuff. Read Deborah Folletta's book, True Love Dates. Read Thomas Umstead's book, Courtship in Crisis. And even Deborah Hirsch, our very own Aussie Deb Hirsch, Redeeming Sex. So some of these other books will help equip you as you live in the world. If you're part of a church, if you either have the ear of your pastor, or you're a pastor yourself, young adults pastor, or whatever it might be, a leader, bring this conversation into the church. These are things that we should be talking about. We need to normalize dating and romantic relationships. And you know what? If you want to ask someone out for a coffee, just ask them out for a coffee. You know, you can be a guy or a girl, and, you know, it doesn't always have to be the guys. Just take that first step and be brave, but also realize, you know what? We were taught when we were teenagers that we had to be really intentional and these things were really serious. And maybe they were when we were at that formative age, but we're adults now. We can be trusted with ourselves and being in the world, and we don't have to take it as seriously. It's just a coffee, or, you know, it's just going for a walk in the park or something, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, as adults, that's how we get to know one another and figuring out other people and who you relate with and don't. That's more the ideas that we should be thinking about adopting in the church.
Very well said, Jess. Thanks so much for your time today. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks, Laura.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.